Hello and welcome back to the Wonder Mom podcast show. I have a beautiful podcast interview guest here today. Her name is Lauren and we connected on Instagram and I absolutely love what she's doing and she's living in the US. Super excited to have you here, Lauren. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Renette. I'm so excited to be here as well.
Yes, I'm super excited. So Lauren, for those of the listeners who don't know you, would you like to introduce yourself in your own words?
Yeah, so I feel like those of us in this space, we were always like, how do we do this? How do we introduce ourselves? So I guess my two favorite roles to really speak to is that I'm a wife and I'm a mother. And those are probably, I think, the most sacred roles that I hold. And then outside of that, my work is in feminine embodiment and feminine leadership. I am a priestess of the womb, so a devotee to Mary Magdalene and Isis and the Rose lineage. And I essentially work with women in connecting to their womb bodies, healing trauma so that they can really co-create and manifest the life and the business and the relationships that they desire. So I really like to create a safe space and take women deep into the root of, you know, maybe what's manifesting that maybe they don't like, or maybe they feel stuck or scarce, or, you know, whatever showing up, and get to the root of that and alchemize it, clear it, so that they can really step into their power and their pleasure and just, you know, safety within themselves and really activating. I think one thing that has really been coming up this year with women in my space is like really activating their feminine voice and like letting that like really come alive. So yeah, it's really cool to see like how this work manifests. And yeah, and like you said, I live in the States. I live in Tampa, Florida, or just right outside of Tampa. And yeah, I live a really like simple life and I enjoy it. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your introduction. I absolutely love what you're doing and what you're helping women with. I think it's so, so important. And I'm all about the voice myself. So yeah. I love that this is coming up so much in women. What would you say is one of the most common blockages when it comes to the voice for women?
So I think it's honestly like a big thing that shows up. And, you know, I work with like a lot of coaches and healers and intuitive women. So I work with a lot of women that are wanting to step into the online space, or they're already in the online space and maybe they've hired coaches or mentors. And within that process, it's like they've lost their authentic expression. So even if they've reach, you know, levels of success, it's like it hasn't been theirs. And I think the reason why is because we carry these wounds as women, and a lot of it's generational, and then a lot of it's just from the lineage of being woman. And the way that I see those wounds is, you know, the priestess wound or the witch wound, which is essentially told women that we have to hide our medicine and our power and our expression. And so with women coming into like the online space or starting to share, you know, their intuitive gifts and, you know, their work and their medicine with the world, there's this block that comes up. And I think it's so visceral where they can actually like feel it. Like I've worked with hundreds of women at this point. I've never met a woman that does not have a block throat. And, you know, the reason for it is just that. And then I think the generational thing is we've been raised by mothers and grandmothers that essentially were told just be quiet and own your role and your place. And a lot of women, we witnessed our mothers and our grandmothers and our great grandmothers just, you know, really dismissing their desires and their needs and their wants, you know, for the family or for the children or for their husbands. So we have that, right? Like, we have that big collective trauma as women, and then we have this generational trauma that shows up. And then what I've also experienced is the inner child trauma and that little girl that, for so many of us, we were just really shut down when it comes to exploration, exploration of our body, exploration of the world around us, exploration of self, and that all manifests within the throat. So a lot of my work is really working with the womb, but there's a direct connection when it comes to the throat and the womb. And I can relate to this. Actually, my husband and I, when we were dating, we left Florida and we moved to Denver, Colorado. And I was really, I think it was like 2015. I was really at this, like, the awakening of my spiritual journey. And Denver's very hippie and new age. And I was like so immersed by it. I loved it. I was like, oh my gosh, these are my people. Because at the time, Florida wasn't really like that yet. So I actually drove to Boulder, and Boulder had a school called the Boulder Psychic Institute. And I got this reading, and this woman, she had her eyes closed for like the whole 2 hours that she was doing this reading. And she looked at my, you know, my chakras, and she was like, your throat, it's like it wants to blast wide open. It's so vibrant. She's like, but it looks as though there's, you know, barbed wire, just like a jail cell around it. And I feel like that's, if we were to put an image on women's expression and their voice, it's like, that's kind of what they're healing, is there's a desire to express, there's a desire to be seen, but it's like, we've just been, and she said it, she was like, it's the masculine wounding. So now with my work, I really understand, like, there's this patriarchal, you know, really dismissive, and I don't want to say toxic, because I feel like that word has been used so much, and it's not, it's just the system within itself, the patriarchal system within itself has really shut women's expression down. And I feel like we're in a time where this is really coming alive, and it's why so many women are really called to the divine feminine work. But yeah, it's like, it's so deep. But it's fascinating, because once women start to express, it's like that chain or those, you know, barbed wires or whatever it is, it's like, it just like it releases. And we realize then, like, just how powerful the feminine voice is, you know, and like we really start to see. And this is what I love witnessing, is like, this is when women start to create companies and programs and offers. And, you know, really creating legacy with their work, because they're no longer doing it someone else's way or hiding aspects of themselves. It's like their fullest expression really gets to come on live.
Yes, 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 to all of this. And it's so, so amazing, because I feel like, you know, when you create this legacy and when you really connect more with the vision and mission behind why you're doing the thing, it's almost like you can't stop, but you just need to share whatever is coming out, because it is for the highest good of all, and it's for the divine plan. And you will actually see that, you will feel that in your bones, because it's just, it's something that can't be stopped, really. So it's, yeah, it's so important to talk about this and what you've shared with the generational trauma, with the collective trauma, and our inner child as well. There's so many aspects to this. When a woman comes into your world, and also for the women who are listening to this, what is one of the first things that you teach them to really unleash their voice?
So we have to go to... It's really hard to create activation with women or people in general that don't feel safe. So for all of my work, the first layer and the first step is safety, because so many women, and I think people in general, we just don't feel safe in our bodies. you know, so any, it's really interesting because I work so much with women in various aspects of trauma and how that shows up in the body. And unless there's state safety established, we can't really go into the pieces around pleasure and sex and intimacy and the voice and being seen. It's like, we actually have to, it's just like building a house. Like, we have to lay the foundation. So when women come to me, that's usually, I mean, it's the unsexy part because we're creating safety. But, you know, when we've experienced trauma, whether it be, you know, big physical, you know, T trauma, it's like, that's one thing. But a lot of women that come into my world, it's like, it's honestly the micro moments that tend to be like the most damaging, where it's like, okay, need wasn't met, not having emotionally aware, present parents, you know, dysfunction in the household, not feeling seen as a child. Like, these are the things that are coming up, you know? So that's always like the first step, because even, you know, what will happen is like, okay, if we were to just go into the pleasure work, if we were to go into the voice activation, it's like, you're going to get to that point and then it's going to be like a band-aid where you're going to expand too quickly and then you're going to collapse back in. And my intention is to make it where even when women leave my space, it's like, they're good and they got themselves and they trust themselves, but that has to come from the safety first. So for me, it's like, let's establish safety. Let's get to that root and do that unsexy work to clear things out that aren't making you feel safe. And, you know, really teaching the practices and the somatic experiencing work, really working with the inner child so she does feel safe with you. So that then when you start expressing, then when you start speaking, then when you start creating, it's like, she's good. That little girl feels safe. She's like, okay, I know that you got me. Because so many of our, you know, and it's interesting because like, I have a lot of women where they're like, I've done the inner child. I have so many women. I always say this. Women come to me when they've done the work. Like, I don't work with women that are newbies. I tend to work with women that have done a lot of mindset work. They've done inner child work. They've done therapy. They've done all these things. And when they come into my space, it's like, there's still these gaps. And I think what happens is the way that I hold this space is really client-centered. And it's really with the intention for women to actually trust their bodies to lead the process. And trusting these aspects, the little girl, the shadow, like whatever's coming through, the parts that are trying to keep them safe, to just come in and to be met with love and awareness and compassion. I think that that's where the big shift comes in and where women are like, okay, I've done so much of this work. Like, oh, I've hired boundaries coaches. I've hired love coaches. And like, it's like, there's something that still isn't landing. And I think the reason why this happens is because my work is really based within the roots. My work is guiding women through a somatic experience of connecting to the yoni in the womb. And for me, there's just no other way to actually heal the feminine unless we're somatically connecting to the yoni in the womb. And for those of you that maybe aren't, you know, you're like, okay, what does that mean to somatically connect to the yoni in the womb? So it actually means to create a hands-on practice with your body. And what I mean by that is, you know, oftentimes we only touch our yoni in a root space when we're in pain, when we're in birth, or when we're, you know, in sexual pleasure. There's so much tension that's stored within the fascia, within the nerves, within the cells, within the skin and the tissues and the muscles, and also within the bones of the pelvic root. It's what holds up the feminine body. And there's a lot of constriction and tightness and resentment. And, you know, all of our emotions are stored there, but it's the one space that we've been most shamed to connect with. And it's the one space that many of us don't look at, we don't touch, we don't explore. We honestly have created a practice just because of how society teaches us of do whatever you can to not touch that space. But every single year, women are willing to go to gynecologist and they're willing to spread their legs wide open and be probed and prodded. and without any awareness of what's actually going on. So I think that when I mean getting to the root, it's like we go to the root of what's actually happening in the body and softening any of that tension. And when we soften that tension, when we create a hands-on practice through breath, through touch, through slowness, through just really being with what's present in the body, we alchemize any trauma there without making a story, without like clinging to the mind aspects of it, to the ego. And we actually like physically will bring the soul back into body. And that's where we can really begin to like have this expression come alive and this creativity come alive and just, you know, the life force that we hold. I mean, that's, you look at yoga, kundalini, like shakti, tantra, the life force is stored right there, right? And we're like, let's activate our life force. But it's like, it's really hard to activate it when we're actually like clinging on and holding on for dear life somatically, you know? And that's, I think another aspect of my work is like really supporting women in receiving in all the ways, money, you know, wealth, clients, sex, like all of it, motherhood, like receiving support, receiving the sisterhood, all of the things. And it's like, we can say we trust and we can say we're surrendering and we can say it, but it's like, are we though? Let's go and look at the yoni and let's actually see what's happening down there and create that somatic experience to release the tension and to release the trauma and just like let it actually open up the portals for receiving.
Yes. It's so interesting because the womb is also connected to your nervous system. So all the neurofascial tissue is connected to that. So I also feel like you can really see within yourself how safe you feel and just by observing your nervous system too. And this is something that I really needed to work on so much and really heal so much in my womb and yoni space. And I feel like I'm continuously doing that as well. It's like there's another layer coming up and it's like, oh, I've already done the work. So it's interesting that women come to you and they say, I've already done so many things. Because we think sometimes, we've done it once, now it's healed, now it's gone. Right? Yeah.
And like that's just it. So like the way that I see the feminine path is through this spiral. And it's why my mystery school, Cosmic Rose, like I use the rose very intentionally because it is the spiral of our life force as women. You know, so the feminine path, if you're willing, and I always tell women, the path of the womb is so courageous because we are constantly spiraling deeper within ourselves. But because we have this availability and this courage to continue to spiral deeper, what happens is we expand our capacity to receive and we open ourselves up to, you know, cosmic God consciousness, you know, and we like really get to be one with the universe and with God's source. And I think that it's essentially like, that's what we desire if we're on this path. And I can guarantee if women are listening to this podcast, it's like, you're on this path and the path of the feminine is just like, we just like take it deeper, you know, and we let ourselves spiral into the womb. It's why we are constantly going through death and rebirth portals. I mean, that is the essence of the womb, is to dance between death and to dance between life. And whether or not you're willing to see that, you're going through it. So how powerful would it be to actually know the language of what's happening so that when you are in the void, when you are in a death portal, you're like, okay, I got myself. I feel safe. I know I'm held. I can trust. I can surrender. And then like you can receive so much more fully, you know, but it is a spiral. And I always tell women, it's like, yeah, like, you know, like this past year was so interesting. Like this past year has really been a big initiation for me. And the initiation has been like, I really wanted to bring the wealth aspect into the womb work because I felt like there was a gap with that. And so I claimed it and I was like, use me as a vessel, God. I want to claim this. Like, I want to teach women womb wealth, you know, and I got what was handed to me, and all of my money stories, all of the scarcity, all of the fear, all of the lack, all of the like little lingering what ifs, intention when it comes to my relationship to money showed up. And as I've been ending this initiation, I can see so clearly of like, I get it now. Like, I actually fully get the relationship with the womb and money, and why so many women don't trust money. And can I share it with you? Maybe this might be powerful. Yeah. So what I've realized is most women don't trust the masculine, and we don't trust men, and we don't trust the systems, and we don't trust, you know, essentially the patriarchy, because, you know, it has diminished our expression and our voice and our sexual power and our life force. So when we see money, we're like, I want nothing to do with it, because what comes with it is an actual need to trust and surrender, and also to be in devotional practice with money. And that, I think, terrifies a lot of women, right? So there's like a lot of wounding there as well, with like the safety and protection and being provided for and all of these things. So I was going through these initiations. I was like, okay, the first thing that dropped in was like, okay, the money is masculine. And then I was like, I don't trust the masculine. I was raised by a pretty, very like emotionally abusive father. I would say like borderline narcissistic. And my little girl never felt safe. I never felt safe in my home. I had been sexually, you know, abused at a pretty young age by a male that was close to me. And that should have been someone that protected me. And then the one man that I felt safe with died when I was in sixth grade, my grandfather. And he was probably like the most masculine presence that I knew, that was like really embodied and safe. So I had all of these relationships with men that didn't feel safe. And then I was raised Catholic. So doing the Mary Magdalene work is quite fascinating, because I was like, I'm not going to touch anything that represents Christianity or touches Christ or touches God. Like, I'm just going to refer to everything as the universe and go down this path. And although I had been teaching Mary Magdalene, it was like I hadn't really embodied yet the trust of Christ consciousness. And I hadn't really embodied yet their love and their sacred union. So this past year, I also got married to my now husband, who for 12 years, ladies, was telling me that he did not want to get married and refused to get married. We took a year apart in 2021, and that is when I started the womb and the yoni work. And I dropped into my feminine, and I learned how to lead him through the feminine. And by me softening and me trusting myself and my body, he was, well, there was no manipulation. There was no anything. It was just like, we decided one day, we're like, he was like, let's do it. Let's get married.
Wow, you know? How amazing.
So, yeah. So like, I had all of these aspects coming up, and the clarity that has dropped in is, this is exactly it, is we will never have a safe relationship when it comes to money and when it comes to wealth, if we don't heal this, and if we don't learn how to actually soften with money and surrender with money and trust that it's going to show up for us and that it's always here for us. And if we look at what we desire in relationship and with the masculine, it is the same thing, is we want a masculine partner to show up, to see us, to be there when we need it, and, you know, to provide. So I made this correlation. I was just like, this is it. Like, this is what I meant to teach women. But I had to go so deep into my womb. I mean, I had many dark nights. I had many moments of crying. I'm like, what is happening? What is happening? And so I've come to this realization, and I had my first round of Cosmic Rose. I run a 9-month feminine mystery school. And so my teacher, who, when I told her, I was like, I'm ready to run a mystery school, like, I want to teach this work. And she's like, you're going to go through probably one of the biggest initiations of your life running this. And whoa, was it. And we just had our last temple. We have our final call, our, you know, closing ceremony on Thursday as we're recording this. And I'm in the, you know, open enrollment right now for this next 9 months, these next group of women. And I'm just like, it's just, it's maturated. It's like, everything's really coming. I mean, the women that walk that path, they've received so much where I'm like, this is like the missing piece, because so many women fear money and they can say they want it, but at the end of the day, they fear it. You know, and I'm like, and I said this prayer where I was just like, God, teach me how to run a feminine led business, like truly from the womb. And I will teach other women to do the same thing. And it's been delivered. I'm just like, okay, I'm ready to go. You know, so this is the feminine path. This is just like my journey, my experience, but this is really like the feminine path and what comes through of like really coming back into our purpose and why we're here in service, and also being able to receive what we desire on the other side of that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, what a beautiful realization. And, you know, it's interesting because the sacral chakra, it is very related with money and relationship. So,
it's right there. It's like, it's all right there. And women are like, what does the womb have to go do with wealth? I'm like, everything. Mm. It is our creative portal, everything. Mm. Right. And one chakra below that is our roots. It's our safety. It's survival. You know, it's just like, I think our lower three chakras are where that ability to create wealth comes from, because personal power, that solar plexus energy, like personal power and the ability to hold power, not from like that dominant authoritative space, but like true power, like that's the moneymaker right there, you know? But that's where most women hold the wounding, the gut issues, the PCOS, the, you know, hormonal issues, all of that. It's like, so it's right there laid out for women. And I think a lot of women are waking up, but I think a lot of women, when they hear this, they're going to be like, yeah, I see it showing up in physical symptoms, emotional symptoms, whatever, painful periods, all the things. And it's like, listen to that. That is your womb speaking to you. And if you want to create a life that you desire, a life, you know, whatever luxury means to you, like I'm a very simple gal, but I also really like luxury things. And I think more than anything is I just like the availability to buy and do whatever I want, you know, without money being an issue, like that's it. But I like shopping at Whole Foods. I like, you know, my organic foods and my grass-fed meats and, you know, a nice car and a nice home to come home to. Like, I like that. And that's something as well that I've had to heal, because I've seen a lot of women on the feminine path dismiss that because, you know, it's more holy and more sacred to not like the luxury and to, you know, just live, you know, on your means. I'm just like, no, like we are designed to be abundant. We are designed to thrive. We're designed to be in pleasure. So you get to decide what luxury means to you, but that is available to every single woman that's listening to this podcast, and honestly, every single woman in the world, because we have a womb, because we have this portal of creation and of life literally within us.
Yes. And we are so freaking powerful as women. We can create whatever we want to. Like, we are the creatrixes of our own reality, and we really have to come back to this own truth and really claim this. We have to claim our spot here. And abundance is our birthright. And it's what also a lot of women don't really talk about out there. Yeah, there is love. Yeah, there's light, but there's also abundance. And abundance is really, it's also really important when you are, you know, creating your mission business. Abundance is something that, you know, makes your legacy grow even wider and wider and wider, so you can help more people. But at the same time, you're allowed to have everything that you truly desire, you know. Yeah. And that's so important to speak to this. Thank you so much for bringing this up. And for those women out there who are listening to this and they're still like a resistance in them, they're like, I'm not deserving this, you know, or like, who am I, you know, like, of course they can talk about this in a podcast interview. And they obviously created whatever they decide in their own life, but you know, who am I really, you know, I'm different. What would you say to yeah. those women?
Well, I'm going to say something that might be triggering, but it's what's coming through, is you're not that special. And I say that with a lot of love, not saying that you're not special, but you're not that special. And what you're doing is you're creating a story to make yourself seem different and separate. And that separation is what's separating you from the divine and God. And you'll never have an abundant life from that space. So you're making a story saying, this happened to me and this happened to me. And I did that for a really long time. I would watch women online making a lot of money and living these lives. I'm like, yeah, but they don't have this. You know, they didn't come from this family. They don't have this trauma. And at the end of the day, I just got to this understanding of like, yeah, but I'm not that special. I'm powerful and I'm magnetic and I'm authentic and I'm me. But that's just a story of separation. So that's like, and I can feel and I know it's like, what is she saying? But it's the truth, you know, because, you know, so much of healing the feminine wounding is actually coming into sisterhood and connection and support of one another. And when you're creating those stories of like, it can't be me, why me? It's like, you're not witnessing that there's an interwoven web that connects us womb to womb. So when you decide to opt out of that and make up these stories that simply aren't true because your mind, your ego is telling you, you're not connecting to that web, that, you know, that interwoven web of the womb. But when you connect back into it and you connect back into womb consciousness, well, there's the abundance portal. And then your specialness, your feeling special, can actually be like, oh, I'm powerful, I'm magnetic, I'm whole, I'm enough, I'm worthy, right? Because special is like, it's really interesting because my daughter went to Disney with my parents for her fifth birthday. And my mom really likes to make my daughter feel more special than other kids. And something that my husband and I are really intentional with her is not doing. And she's really smart and creative and expressive. And she's a brilliant kid, really an amazing little girl. But with other children, we don't make her feel more special than them. Because what that does, it's going to make her think that she's different and that she's not worthy. And it's going to create this false narrative that she has to separate from themselves from. So yes, is she amazing? Yes. Do we boast her up and tell her how smart she is and how wise she is and how confident she is? But we don't make her feel separate from other children, right? Because it creates this like unconscious divide. So that's what I would say is, you know, you're not that special.
Yeah.
we're just these, you know, it's that simple. When we can really allow the ego to dissolve. And I know why my mom does it. What's interesting is because I do this work and I've had to clear this. And she made my brother feel like that. My brother was the smart one and he had all these high expectations, but he couldn't meet them. So then he completely shut down and, you know, is in such a mental, and it was also, you know, the trauma being raised by her father, but like is such a mental state that he can't work anymore. Just like, you know, it's just not mentally well. And I always think, I'm like, what if you would have just told him that like, yeah, he's smart and he's wise and he's amazing, but not made him feel like he was so much more special, you know? So I think it's language, which is really important, and it's intention. But my mother does that because she always wanted to be told that she was enough. And she always wanted to be told that she was worthy and she wanted to be seen. So it's mirroring out and projecting. That's really dangerous, especially as parents. So I think that you're that wounded little girl is like, make me special. But really that wounded little girl is like, make me feel enough, see me, make me feel worthy. And that's a different programming. That's a different language. That's a different conversation.
Yeah, oh wow, 100%. Because it does create a separation, and you just think you don't really fit into, into society, into groups. And also for the ego, I feel like it can really create something like I'm like better than anyone else kind of
Yeah.
thinking. So
So it's
I,
like your
yeah.
trauma is better than everyone. So if you're showing up to a room like that, you're like, yeah, but my traumas, right? It's like, and trauma doesn't work like that. I mean, I had a client and I mentor women now. So a lot of my work now is working with coaches and healers so that they can, take their clients deeper. And that's a big part of Cosmic Rose is like really teaching women facilitation and how to work with the feminine map and the feminine body. And I had a client come to me and she was just like, this client has had so much trauma, has been sexually abused from a really young age. She's like, I don't know how to deal with it. I'm like, the trauma is the same in the body. You're making a story about it and you can't really, right? So it's like, we want to make the story and we want to make it my trauma. And that doesn't dismiss your trauma. Your trauma is there. And it's valid. And it was probably an awful experience and probably made you feel so disconnected and unworthy. But the way the body remembers it, and that's where it's stored, it's not like, yeah, this experience is way worse than that. It's, we don't know. The body doesn't know. It doesn't work that way. So we can't go in and be like, yeah, I'm more wounded than you, and there's a lot of, and I noticed that when I got into trauma healing in this work, I noticed that. Like I would sit in these rooms and be in the trainings as I was getting my certifications. I'm like, there is a lot of comparison of like whose trauma is worse. I'm like, this is so dangerous because then we get hooked in the trauma instead of being hooked into the healing and into the alchemy and into the possibility, right? And that's what we're here for, is the possibility,
Yeah, and we also want to hold on to our trauma at the same time because we just believe, oh, my trauma is so much worse than yours. And to be honest, just when we're talking about this, I'm sure I was like that too when I was younger because I was growing up with my mom. She couldn't be there for me in my youngest years and my whole teenager life, basically. And I always made this story. I didn't have a mom. I didn't have a mom. And I always looked at my girlfriends who had a mom. And I'm like, oh, they're so lucky. And, poor me, blah, 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 blah. But the thing is, once I looked at that and I healed it and I alchemized it, I could really forgive my mom because she wasn't able to be there for me because she had a mental illness. She needed to go to a clinic for a long time. And even if she would have been there for me, she wouldn't be really functional. But my whole life, I made this whole story like, oh, poor me. I didn't have a mom, blah, 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 and all these motherhood wounds. And, but then I was like, what kind of bullshit? She actually was, she was still there. She didn't die from anything. And now I have a much better relationship with her. Yes, it's been maybe not the greatest relationship ever. But still, once I really alchemized that, I was like, you know what? When I have a child, I'm gonna be the best mom that I can be for my child. And I feel like really that's why I really had this experience. And so it's so important to really be honest and raw with yourself and not to pedestal your own trauma in a way.
It's and it's like, that must have been so hard, right? Like not having your mom present. And also, it's acknowledging like, that was really hard. That must have been really hard to be in your teenage years, not have your mother there, because those are such pivotal years. And also like really looking at it from love and compassion of your mother, of she probably need to go through healing and all the things. And forgiveness, like forgiveness is so important on this healing journey, and I think that that's what softens us as well. And going in and just being, and then being able to mother that teenage girl that was probably angry and upset and feeling all the things, You know, so, and that's how we heal it, of creating that presence again within our body and connection and compassion within ourselves, and forgiving the parts within us that felt rejected and abandoned and all of these things. You know, I mean, that's how we heal, but that's a somatic visceral experience. It's not pulling out your journal and being like, I forgive my 15-year-old self. I forgive my, it's like, no, we have to have a somatic experience of the forgiveness, of the expression, releasing any anger, any rage, like whatever's coming up, the grief, like just letting it go. And then like coming back into the truth. And what's fascinating is like my relationship with my parents isn't perfect, but I've softened and I'm not on the defense and I'm not so reactive with them. And I'm able to have them have a healthy and good relationship with my daughter. And, you know, she has a great relationship. Like my mom is my daughter's best friend. They are so cute together. I'm the middle person in that. I'm the anchor in that, you know, and I'm the one that had to do the work. And I feel like for a lot of us, we are chosen to walk this path and to heal for generations to come, so that when you do have babies, you know, you're not showing up and having those same woundings. And it does show up. It's weird being a mom, like my daughter, and this is something I've like really have been noticing. My daughter rubs up against that wounded inner child quite often. And she's very similar to how I probably was if I would have been allowed to be fully expressed as a little girl, you know. And it's also really interesting because she looks exactly like me. And I'm just like, yeah, when I started doing the inner child work, I was breastfeeding her and I would literally just like breastfeed her and rock her and look down at her and just be like, we're safe, and visualize my little, you know, like my infant self and my baby self. And so she's honestly like my greatest teacher. But yeah, quite, it's weird being, and I, you know, have a lot of mom friends and moms that are in this work and in this space. And it's like, yeah, the daughter specifically, I think, like really rub up against the inner child because you're like, ooh, yeah, I see it. You know, and it's like, I wasn't allowed to be expressed. Why do you get to be expressed? So we got to really like take a pause and be like, okay, all is well. And I homeschool my daughter, so we're together all the time. And also it's really great. Like I always notice when my nervous system is maybe getting into fight or flight, more reactive and not as patient and not as present. So it's really always like a call back into body, and it's a daily devotional practice to come back into body, come back into womb, so that I can be the best mother and so I can be the best coach and just, you know, who I am and what I give and the best wife and all the things.
This is so interesting that your child, you know, the directions of your child. And I can absolutely imagine that even with my child, you know, because I also want to allow it to be the child that I could never be. Like I always need to be the mother for everyone else around me, which also made me stronger. And I feel like there is a connection also with a lot of my past lives that, you know, I really feel like I'm an old soul and I have a lot of knowledge and wisdom within me. So, you know, I had also this journey really early on where I kind of needed to step into looking out for someone else instead of me. So, yeah. And also what is really important, wanted to bring here again was, you know, the forgiveness part. And that we are so often really the defensive, and we want to be right. Like this is one of the biggest things in my own journey, the righteousness and wanting to be in control and wanting to be right. And my way is the way. And to just drop that and to be like, no, letting go of this control, letting go of this righteousness, because you won't access the abundance if you're just wanting to be right the whole time. And I really need to learn that the hard way. And yes, so important.
Yeah, abundance doesn't really care if you're right. Like money doesn't care if you're right. You know, it's just And I think like that is, I always tell women what's really fascinating is the womb is very forgiving. And I work with a lot of women that have physical symptoms as well as the energetic and emotional symptoms. And they start to see that with their bleeds, where their bleeds become easier. And, you know, I've had women heal from PCOS and these, you know, chronic diagnoses. And I tell them, I'm like, the womb is so forgiving. So she is this mirror of like what actually happens when we forgive ourselves and, you know, forgive other people. That doesn't mean we have to be like besties with everyone, but it's just like, there's really no point in like holding on to that, you know, because it's just creating like this black tar within your heart and in your body. And there, it's not, you know, space. And the control piece, I always tell my clients this, and you've probably seen this in post, is surrender and control cannot live in the body at the same time. So if you're constantly trying to control people, the outcomes, and like, that's a big thing with mothering too, is I want my daughter to be expressed. And a big thing is I've had to release a lot of control, you know, and just like go with her flow and her pace. And, you know, it's not always perfect because sometimes we got to leave the house and we don't have time, you know, but it's like, and also sometimes it just takes like 5 seconds just to pause and just like ask her, like, what is it that you're needing? Like what, you know, and it just like, slow it down a bit. So, but that's the thing, is like control and surrender. And surrender is the magic key to wealth and abundance. They can't live in the body at the same time. It's also the key, like surrender is the key to feminine orgasm and ecstasy. I mean, it is the key to the feminine essence. But a lot of women are just like, let me control, let me dominate, let me, you know, have it all figured out. It's just like, no. Just release, like let it go, you know, like let it go, let it flow. And it's like the Frozen song, let it go.
Let it go, let it go.
Yeah. Oh, Frozen's my gosh. So good. I tell the women in Cosmic Rose, because my daughter got really into Frozen. I was just like, Frozen 1 and Frozen 2, Frozen 2's really like the feminine path and the descent into the womb, because it's the death and rebirth and her coming into like her spiritual powers. And I'm like, Frozen is so symbolic for the feminine path. It's amazing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's so cool. I don't think I've watched the second one. So
it's better than the first one. It's really? So good. Yeah, it's so good.
Oh my God. Yeah. I used to love it so much. And I was babysitting a lot. And I always played with the Frozen dolls, and they could sing. And then yeah, I always sang with the children, let it go, let it go. And yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
Moana too. Like Moana's really good. Restoring the feminine heart is like the theme of Moana. I'm like, these are so good.
Oh my gosh. I love that connection there. Wow. Dear Lauren, I absolutely love this conversation. I probably can go on forever with you.
Yeah, this is so fun.
This is so there's so much to talk about. You know, let us know, how can we connect with you? How can we work with you? You also were talking about the mystery school. So yeah, please let us know all the ways.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. That's where I'm most active, at I am Lauren Megan. And then I do have a podcast called the Womb Wealth and Wellness Podcast. You're actually coming on it. So a continuation of our conversation, but yeah, I shared like a lot of interviews and also just solo riffs of kind of my journey and just a little bit more of like the behind the scenes of what's happening in my spiritual life and evolution, all of it. And so Cosmic Rose Mystery School is really like my signature offer. Like it is my baby. I don't know how else to explain it. And it is a 9-month feminine embodiment initiation. We go really deep into really trusting your intuition and your spiritual medicine. And then also the facilitation of understanding the feminine map so that you can guide your clients and the women that you work with into deeper levels of transformation that actually last, so that there's a ripple into the work. And the women that leave your spaces, if you are a coach and a healer, they rave about you and they tell all their friends about you, which to me, I think creates like that ripple of abundance, you know, in your work. So we began mid-January. And like I said, it goes on for 9 months. And then I have a feminine leadership business mastermind called Magnetism Mastermind. So for the women that are really ready to increase their capacity for more wealth and more visibility and more magnetism in their business, but doing it from the feminine lens and not doing it someone else's way, then that is the space for you. And in summer, if you want to travel to the States or are just called to, maybe you're in the States and you're listening to this, I will be hosting a summer solstice retreat in Sedona. So that'll be really yummy.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Sedona. Yeah. Such a powerful place.
Yeah. Sedona is like quite fascinating because it really is the balance of the divine masculine and the feminine. And we go to the birthing cave there, which is like so holy and just really beautiful. So yeah, it's really, I hosted a retreat last summer solstice and it was such a powerful experience for the women. So we do a lot of like the priestess codes and hands-on yoni work and things like that there.
Oh my God, I love that. Oh, yeah. I've never been to. Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh my God, maybe I'll put it on my to-do list next year.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you join Cosmic Rose, you do get a discount to come in. And so it does take a little bit off. But yeah, I'll have all the details. I haven't actually like mapping out all the details now. So in 2024, I'll have the details where women can start signing up and planning, making arrangements to travel and all the things.
Okay, amazing. Yeah, I put all your links in the show notes so everyone can find them. And dear Lauren, it has been such a pleasure to have you here. Such an honor, really, to have you and your beautiful energy here in this space and all the topics that you shared. And there's one last question that I always ask my interview guests. So it's a tradition, kind of. So imagine I give you a microphone, and this microphone is connected to every radio station, to every TV show on this planet. And you have now 1 minute time to tell humanity what's really on your heart. What would you say?
Listen to women. I listened to Robert Kennedy Jr. on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he is a really big advocate for children's health and women. And he's also running for president. And he said that the biggest thing that he did was listen to mothers and women. And I think that there's a lot of power in that, of actually listening to women and to mothers, because we are tapped into something that is not logical and doesn't always make sense, but it is divine wisdom. And I think that that is the saving grace for humanity and collective.
Yes, 100%. Wow. Thank you so much. Oh, I can feel that in my cells, in my bones. Oh my God. I had goosebumps here. Dear Lauren, thank you so, so much again. Sending you so much love to the States, and talk to you soon.